Well, good evening. Thank you for joining us. Wait, are we not? Maybe we're not on. I don't know. All right. Thank you for joining us online and in person. Tonight, we're going to continue on with our truth for living. We have been going through a new program where it's going to reflect what the children are learning in the back. The children are going through to start a catechism that's called Kids for Truth, right? Kids for Truth Club. And so that we would, the people who have parent, or the people who are parents of the children in the back, would be able to know what's being taught back there. We'll talk about the same subjects out here. And also, even if you don't have children back there, it's a good thing to go through a catechism, which seeks to explain questions and also correct misconceptions that are often taught in bad doctrine. And so a lot of these older catechisms were used to correct bad beliefs. So tonight, we're going to continue on with these four opening questions, these starter questions, per se, that we're going through, where the children will have to go through these four questions, and that will get them into the mindset of, to make sure we have some things that are clear, some things that we have discussed ahead of time, that we know and understand before we continue on in these doctrines of truth. And so the first question that we went over, that Pastor went over, was, where did you and everything else come from? And we talked about how God is creator, and that all things were created by God, and that he continues to uphold them. And then last week, well, in the verse that we used, the key verse, was Revelation 4:11. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. How much did God create? He created all, everything. There's nothing made that wasn't made by him. And he continues to uphold them. And as Pastor said last week, a lot of these questions are going to be overlapping. And so a lot of things that he went over last week, I will bring up tonight. So this moves into our next question, what gives life meaning? And so we talked about how God is our sustainer, that God is our creator, was the first question. God is our sustainer, that he upholds all things. And so what gives life meaning is that all things exist for God, and we find purpose for our lives as we trust in him and love according to his will. Happy providence that Pastor spoke about last week. And the key verse that we used for that was Romans 11:36. From him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. And so all things are for God, through God, and to him. He is our sustainer, and everything was made for him. And so that brings us to our third question that we're going to discuss tonight. How should we live? In light of God being our creator, in light of God being our sustainer, how should we live? So let's start by asking this question, or answer the question in a way that maybe the world would. Let's say if we would go and, you know, just like Family Feud, you know, survey says, if we were to go out and ask 100 people out on the streets, how should you live? What are some of the answers that we would get from people? Oh, be a good person. Okay. Live the best you can. Oh, no. Okay. I think though, from what I've heard, is be a good person is probably like, that was like a 70 point question or something. Do the best, you know, that was there, you know, no X's so far, I don't think. But, so, what other things would the world say, well, this is how I should live? Be nice and kind. Okay. So, I have some things written down here. I have, make the most of it, you know. Well, you only live once. I heard that, right? The kids say that. They call it YOLO. You only live once. And they said, well, you better make the most of it. You only have 80 years on this earth, or, you know, on average, or I don't know what the average lifespan is. But we got to make the most of it. Make every second count. Be the best that you can be. That almost sounds like the army. You know, be the best that you can be. Do good. Make a difference. Work hard. How about be happy? I just want to be happy. I want to do things that make me happy. Live with no regrets. I remember there's T-shirts, I think, that must have been a clothing brand for youth. There's no regrets. And so... I don't think about the past. I just do whatever I want to do, whatever feels good at the time. And so people might even bring in moral and biblical concepts. I remember growing up and seeing in elementary school these big inspirational posters they would have on the walls. And one of them would have the golden rule. And it would say, do unto others as you would have them do to you. And now I look back and I wonder if they knew who said that. You know, we in our public education system, that seems to want to really push anything that had God in it out. They would still have do unto others as you would have. They would might have a different wording, but to know that the golden rule was spoken from Christ, that it was Christ that commanded us that. And there's another one that somebody might have that they would say, well, just be kind to your neighbor. With a lot of this controversy of hate crimes and a lot of causes that I've seen, I see throughout, especially in Squirrel Hill, because I live in Squirrel Hill, I see all of these signs that are in four different languages. And one is just love your neighbor. I think that's what it said, something similar to that, like, you know, accept and love your neighbor and or love everybody. And so even from that idea, these people who are thinking that I'm doing a good thing, I'm loving each other. Now, no one denies that life is relational. Many people want to do good, but most people neglect to recognize something in someone. Out of all of these things that we have said, it has been in between human to human. But what has all of that mantras and way of life, what has that neglected? God. Where's God in your way of life? Are you just thinking, well, I can go be a good person? Well, when you bring God into it, he says, no one's good, no, not one. So I wonder then, what is our standard? How are we to know what is good, and how do we know what it is to love each other? If we only know the love that we've ever known from each other, well, I'm not saying I had a terrible childhood, but I wouldn't know really what love really is growing up. There was a lot of hatred and holding grudges, and people will say, I love you, but do they really mean it? What is love? And so people will live and have this idea that we need to live the way that we know, up to their own standards. And so most of the time, it's all about me. It's all about me. Well, I'm going to do what makes me happy. I'm going to do what I enjoy. I'm going to give to the charity that makes me feel good. You know, and I think often when I think of charities, I think of that ACAP, or, you know, with the song with the arms of the angel, and you have this tiny cat or dog that just looks very sad, and people will feel compelled, like they're going to do something good to this world by donating for animals, but yet they ignore their family, or they hate people, or they tell somebody off on the highway. You know, but I'm doing good. I donate for animals, you know. So many people will do what they want to do, and they live for themselves. Our selfishness and pride lead our lives when we're in the world, and they live for their own glory. They live for their own exaltation. They live to exalt themselves. We often will live for all of the wrong reasons and be selfish, but that is vain glory. There's nothing in it that is good or lasting. So the answer to this question that we'll learn tonight is, how should we live? The answer is, I should live in a way that glorifies and pleases God, my Creator. So God is our Creator. He's our sustainer. And tonight we're going to talk about how God is our Lord. He is the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. And He is Lord whether or not we accept or acknowledge that He's Lord. And so I often hear, growing up in the a certain church that focuses on holiness, is they would say, well, make Jesus the Lord of your life. Put Him on the throne of your heart. And that's silly, because Christ is Lord whether you want to put Him on your heart or not. He is Lord over all, and He's Lord forever. So we should live in a way that glorifies the Lord and pleases Him. And so we'll talk about what it means to glorify, but also what it is to please Him. And we know that in Hebrews 11:6, it reads, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we're going to talk about glorifying God in faith. Our key verse tonight is 1 Corinthians 10:31. In this letter to the church of Corinth, he's correcting a lot of issues. And one of them that we see in this chapter is, they are discussing whether or not it is right to eat food given to idols. And Paul discusses and talks about how, for the sake of somebody else's conscience, if they said this is given to so-and-so, then you're not too, for their conscience. But knowing that false gods are not gods at all, and that is just a vain thing, it doesn't affect our conscience. So, Paul, this it reads towards the end of this conclusion of this thought, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And I think that Paul is referencing, when he speaks of whatever you eat or drink, he's referencing a prophecy that was spoken through the servant Zechariah, where God is speaking to these to the nation saying, well, you eat and you drink for yourself. You're doing this for yourself. And so Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says that whatever we eat or drink or whatever we do, we should do to the glory of God. And there's an emphasis here that whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, Paul explains this grand principle of Christian living and the chief purpose of all of life, that no matter what we as Christians choose to do, whether it be godly activities or these mundane, ordinary things, we need to do for the goal, with the goal of glorifying God. And this is walking out what you believe. This is not having a compartmentalized life, saying, well, these are things of my life that are holy, and this is my ordinary life. No, it's a complete thing. It's whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So even these mundane things that we'll talk about, we're to do for the glory of God. We're to reflect God, and we're to acknowledge that God is the Lord of our life. We should also aim that the glory of God is known to other men and women, right? And that pleasing and honoring Him should be the forefront of our motives. We're pleasing Him by obedience and faith, and honoring Him with thanksgiving and praise, giving Him the credit that is due to Him. So here's the question. Well, first, are we glorifying Him, and is that in the forefront of our mind? What does this mean to glorify? This is to praise, to honor, to extol, to exalt, to worship. To glorify God is to acknowledge that whatever you're eating was given by Him. Not, well, I worked hard and I earned this burger, so I'm going to eat it. And you eat, don't even taste it, and you just eat it real fast. There should, like I said before, there should not be a separate part of our lives where in my prayer and meditation, in my Bible reading, this is how I'm glorifying God. No, Paul is saying that we need to glorify God in all that we do. And we do not need to do something particular or even special in order to glorify God. Well, if you had this mindset to say, well, I want to go out and really glorify the Lord by witnessing to people. Well, you can glorify God just as much by eating a bowl of cereal, because it's in what you're thinking, and it's in what you're acknowledging, and it's how you're doing it. It's doing something in faith. So even seemingly meaningless activities of eating or drinking can glorify God. So what does this look like for an example? Do we acknowledge that it is only by God's provision that we can have something to eat, to drink, to wear, to drive, to do, to work? Are we grateful for His provision? Or are we taking eating, driving, having a car, buying gas? That's something we can often complain about. But praise God, we have the money to buy gas and to have a car to drive around. Are we taking these mundane things for granted? Do we eat selfishly, thinking of only ourselves when we are filling our plate? Or do we also use eating as a way to comfort ourselves, that we would be upset or, you know, so I'm going to go and eat the bowl of ice cream? Well, don't do that, because that's not glorifying God, but you can go glorify God by eating a bowl of ice cream. But it's about your motives and about the state of your heart. So what other parts of our lives can seem routine, but still we could do for the glory of God? Do we have any? This is an open question here. Open interaction. What are some mundane, routine things of our lives that we do? Let's just talk about that. How about that? Just leave the question in that. Laundry, okay. What you're wearing, okay. Getting dressed in the morning. Sleeping. Yeah. Or how we sleep. Do we oversleep? Or do we undersleep? I've been guilty of both. So, yeah, so there's, what about in our relations? There's something that we see every day that we might take for granted. Our wives. Okay, so our family. Our children, our parents. What do we do every day? What is your 24 hours a day made up with? A lot of us, if we're not retired, we're working. And so when we go to work, are we being lazy about it? Are we cutting corners? Are we working as though we're working for the Lord? Paul says in Colossians that whatever we do, we need to work as though we're working unto the Lord. So are we loving our coworkers? Are we being passive aggressive to them or ignoring them or holding a grudge? Are we being gentle and kind? I've worked customer service for most of my adult life, and it is an interesting thing of how many different people you get to meet, and you get to, and of course, you being in customer service, you have a big target on you saying, well, I'm always right. I'm the customer, so I'm always right. And so you get this brunt of all this complaining, and you get called names and all sorts of things. But what does Christ say when somebody is to persecute you or curse you? Bless them. Don't revile back. So one thing I would like to say is, in the way that we glorify and honor Him is by worship and also by obedience. And so we'll talk later with these catechisms. We'll talk about some other catechisms where the question is something like, is there a place that prescribes how we should live? And the answer is yes, in the scriptures, in the New Testament, Old Testament. And so God gives us His word to show us the bounds of what we do. There's certain lines we need to follow. And so some of those things, not revile back, to bless those who persecute you, we can find that in the Sermon on the Mount. And so there's many things that is written that we would honor God by heeding to His word. Some other things, school, whether it's, so to talk to your children or your grandchildren or nieces and nephews about What does it mean to glorify God in school? Are you doing your best, or are you doing it for the glory of God? Or are you cheating? Or are you slacking off? I wasn't a very good student. I know that 11th grade English, I failed because the teacher let me sleep. He said, oh, well, the real punishment is that he's going to sleep and fail the class. Don't wake him up. And so I've learned that in that way, I did not glorify God whatsoever. And are you submitting to the authority of your teachers or administration to talk about your kids? What does it mean to submit to your authority? That means when your teacher says something, tells you to stop acting the way you do, or whatever, you're to listen to that teacher. Because ultimately, God is the one who has made it be that that teacher is your teacher. How about driving? I would say that out of all the many places that I've worked, or that I've lived in Cleveland, Phoenix, and all sorts of different places, but Pittsburgh is probably like my least favorite place to drive. And there's a lot of reasons to be upset. But in your anger, do not sin, right? So are we glorifying God by the way we're driving? Are we honoring God? Are we following and submitting to the authorities of going the speed limit? Or yielding to pedestrians? So there's many things that are just mundane, that seems like everyday life, that we have opportunities, and I could go on. I have finances, sleep, health, chores, internet, social media, conversations. The list goes on. And many parts of our lives seem ordinary. But whatever we do, right? So whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And so that really means that there's nothing in our life, there's not one second that we have that we're without excuse to not glorify God. Yes. 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 So going to some of the other catechisms, I know that I'm getting close to time. The Westminster Catechism, some questions that seem close to this same question. What is the chief end of man? We've discussed this almost every week so far. And the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That in Psalm 86:9, the psalm reads, "In all nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name." This is a foretelling saying that eventually, at one day, all these nations are going to come and glorify you. Later down in that psalm, the psalmist says, "I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever." He is praising him. He is glorifying him, and it is not a secret. Colossians 3:17, as I said before, that whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So there's that thankfulness and obedience unto the truth. The Westminster Catechism, question 2, says, what rule has God given to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy him? Okay, so what is the prescribed boundaries of glorifying God? The answer is the Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy him. The Heidelberg Catechism says, did God, question 6, says, did God create people so wicked and perverse? Last week, Pastor went over this. The answer is no, God created them good in his own image, that is, and in true righteousness and holiness, so that they may truly know God, their creator, love him with all their heart, and live with God in eternal happiness, and to praise and glorify him. There it is again, glorify him. The Heidelberg Catechism, question 91 says, what are good works? And so, the answer is only those which are done out of true faith, conform to God's law, and are done for God's glory, and not those based on our own opinion or human tradition. Doing a good work, it's not a good work if it's not glorifying God. The New City Catechism, question 4, how and why did God create us? Answer is, God created us male and female in his own image to know him, love him, and live with him, and glorify him. And it is right that we who were created by God should live to his glory. New City Catechism, question 6. Well, how can we glorify God? The answer is, we glorify God by enjoying him, loving him, trusting in him, and by obeying his will, commands, and law. We can glorify God not only by worshiping and praising him, but by trusting him and loving him. The greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. By glorifying him, we must love him, trust him, trust his word, obey his will, commands, and law. Deuteronomy 11:1 says, you shall therefore love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes and his rules and his commandments always. And so let us worship, praise him, and glorify him today, and not wait until it's too late, where in one day, Philippians 2:9-11 says that therefore God has highly exalted him, being Christ, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. It glorifies the Father that we would submit to Christ. So let us submit to him now. Let us seek to glorify him in all that we do. Whether we eat, we drink, no matter what we do, if it's not glorifying to him, and if it's not of faith, then it is sin. So that concludes our third question. And we'll continue on next week with the fourth question. The first week we talked about how God is creator. Second week, God is sustainer. And this week, God is Lord. And so let us glorify the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for all that you do, that you have given us the privilege to come to you, to know you, to love you, to trust you, and that we may glorify you by worshiping you, praising you, and acknowledging your lordship over all. May we take these truths and really think on them this week, that we may think of whatever we're doing, may it be on the forefront of our mind. Is this glorifying to you, Lord? Let us take this truth and conform us to your Son, Christ Jesus, I pray. And amen. Well, thank you for watching online, coming in. Have a great day and a good rest of the week. See you Sunday morning.